Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to choose a market to send blind offers. Oh my God, both of you.
Haven't we talked
about
this before?
How many times can you talk about the same topic in 5 years of a daily show? Well, it turns out I agree with you.
Yep. But it comes up.
That's why.
It still comes up.
We're responding
People
to demand.
People are like, wait, okay, can we run through that again?
Yeah.
Has anything changed? What am I missing?
And you know what?
How
turns
do
out
I do this?
Some stuff has changed.
How do I know I got a good one? We can help.
Technology has changed. There's a lot of new available tools out there. And we'll talk all about it. What hasn't changed is there's no easy button. Which is why there's a few of us getting crazy wealthy at this. And then the rest of the people don't even know about Land Academy in the world. That's why you're listening. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Charlie asks, so I had a buyer pay the down payment on our website, fill out a form for the deed info, and then they disappeared. We talked through text one time, and I sent the contract and the deed because it was sold over on terms. It was sold on terms, and now I can't get a hold of them. She never signed and returned the contract back to me. What do I do now? The contract lays out default clearly, but technically, she never signed it. I think I'm going to keep trying until Friday to reach them and make sure I have everything documented and then relist the property with the expectation that I'll just refund them if they ever return my calls. Any thoughts? That's kind of what I would do.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you're kind of stumping me here because this has never happened to us. Not. This happens all the time. Yeah. Jill and I, over the last year, maybe 2 years actually now, maybe two and a half or three, have gone 100% to cash sales. So selling property on terms. You buy a piece of property for cash and you sell it on terms, $500 down, $200 a month for 5 years, and then you own it like a car, is very popular among other groups in the land education environment out there. Or maybe it's not, I don't know, I don't keep up with them. But it takes a whole different skill set than what I believe Jill and I are really good at. You know, we're good at data. We're good at sending out blind offers, buying property real cheap, and reselling it very quickly for cash for more. This business of the customer service and the maintenance of servicing a loan and the stuff that goes on with it, we learned pretty early in our operation together that we don't want to do that.
It's a lot of work. A lot of people package this up like, oh, it's passive income, is what they say. Because you set it up once.
There's nothing passive about it.
You get them on auto pay, and it's all beautiful and sunny, and everybody pays, and you don't have to do anything. And that's the whole point. It's not passive. It's just like the situation. There's a little bit of work sometimes. And this person, you know, imagine, this situation's actually easy. So let me cover it real quick. What you're doing, Charlie, is exactly what I would do. They went dark. I leave them voicemails. I text mail. I email. I cover all the bases. I tried. And then I put the money aside knowing that if they come back, I'm going to say, you went dark. Here's your money back. And we're all cool. Obviously, something happened. And most likely, they might just go dark and you might get to keep the money. Who knows what happened? So anyway, but the other side is, you know, normally what happens is they make the deposit, they sign the agreement, and they might be paying happily for 6 months and then go dark. Now you're really in a pickle, like, shucks, they've been paying. Now they've you know, taken some ownership of the property. Now undoing it is more, and they've signed stuff, you've signed stuff. Now it's even a lot more work. And it's stuff like Steven said, we just choose not to do. For a couple reasons, this is one, this is the main one. And then number two, I'd rather have the cash up front, even if it's less. We all know this is another reason why people do terms, is because they can get a bigger chunk. Like, I might do cash for $15,000 on a property sale or terms for $25,000. That's what people do and why it seems attractive too. And if it goes perfect, great, you got $10,000 out of it. But, you know, it's spread out over time also. I'd rather have the $15,000 right now today and put that to work on another property.
I mean, this is a classic case of, I'm sure you are right. I'm sure that the person's out of compliance with the contract, and that
there is no contract.
Well, she didn't sign it.
Nobody signed anything.
So I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
you really need to refund the money. And I would get really, 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 yeah. I wouldn't wait for her to contact you and say, refund my money. I would proactively just give, however they paid, I would just refund it.
That's a really good idea.
I don't think that's, you know.
Give them like three notices. Look, if I don't hear from you by X date, if I don't hear from you by the 15th or whatever you want to say, I like that exactly. I'm going to assume something happened and I'm going to give you your money back and I wish you all the best.
Yeah, there is no contract.
Then she can say, exactly. She just paid for something.
Yeah, man. Let me be real clear on this. Yeah. You got to refund it.
Then you did the right thing too.
I don't even know if I would do the three things. I would just say, you know, you know what? Maybe somebody's in the hospital.
This is what I would do. I would say, look, you know, I'm going to give you a certain amount of time. That's the right thing. I think the right thing. If I don't hear from you, I'm assuming you changed your mind and here's your money back.
Yeah.
And then everybody's happy.
Today's topic, how to choose a market to send blind offers. This is the meat of the show. So you're staring at a map of the United States, looking at all that real estate, 150 million pieces of real estate. And you know, in the back of your head, in the front of your head, if you listen to our show a lot, that a very predictable percentage and number of people, when they get your offer, they're going to sign it and send it back.
And you know right here, just kidding.
If you're mailing rural vacant land, it's probably about, for every 1,000 offers, you're going to get a deal out of it-ish. 1,000 to maybe a little more, maybe a little less, depending on how experienced you are. So where do you send it? Well, it used to be, all the education that we talk about, we say, look, there's an art component to this and sort of an engineering component or a math component. And, you know, depending on who you are and how you do things, they're mixed in together. Well, more and more, the art component's going away. You can really look at data, look at who's buying what, who's clicking through, and looking at things on certain websites where there's properties posted. And your job is to really take a hard look at what's possible from a data's perspective to choose sending out offers. Here's a kind of a checklist that I go down mentally. Number one, I've got 8 counties, let's say, that I'm looking at in a state. Hopefully they're close to you and you know a little bit about it and you can have a little bit of passion about it, because that's what really fuels this, especially in land, not so much houses for me. Like, man, I spent, if you're brand new, I spent my summers up there with my family when I was young, or some version of that. Number one, so that's number one. Number two, now, okay, great, there's 8 counties up there. What you wanna do is really pit those counties and zip codes against each other to see which one wins from a data standpoint. And here's some factors. How many people are looking at the property that's already posted up there by other sellers on the internet? Well, that's great, Steve. Where do I get that data? That's for you to figure out. It's constantly changing. There's tons of places you can go to find click-through data for existing property out there. You know, Realtor.com, Redfin. Redfin allows you to download the property to a certain extent. So now you've got, theoretically, data on 8 counties or zip codes, and you look at who's looking at the property the most, and I can guarantee you the people that are looking at the property the most on the internet are the same people who are buying it. So you need to look at completed sales if you can get it. Of course you can get it. Okay, so good. I've got these 8 counties. These two look like the most. There's more completed sales here. There's more click-throughs here. I'm getting, now I'm getting somewhere. I'm getting warmer. Can I get the data? Can I even get the data on RealQuest, Title Pro, or DataTree? And sometimes the answer is no. And that is an easy button. You can find out really quickly if the data is available. Next item, Next item, is the county itself available to help me? Do they have maps? Does it take them a year to record a deed, or 10 minutes to record a deed? Or can I even do it online? Some rural ones, it takes 13 seconds. Jill has a mental list of, the more urban the county is, they're usually in tune with electronic recording. Mm-hmm. Can I do a terms contract if that's what you're into? Some states don't allow that. So this universe of 150 million, there's 150 million pieces of property, APNs-ish, in this country. There's 50 states, there's about 3,444 counties, and there's about 26,000 zip codes. Why do I bring these numbers up? Because this is a finite data set. It looks infinite. you watch these shows on TV, HGTV, and it's all these variables and all this stuff. It's not. It's not. You're here because hopefully you're a data person, or you're a partners with a data person. You're a salesperson and partners with the data person. So take a look at this finite data set and make choices about where to send mail and what you want to get out of it. Look at a typical transaction that you're after. If you are right now, we're buy for 25 or 30, sell for 80 or 90. That's just kind of the cycle of the career path that Jill and I have chosen. Not so long ago, it was buy for 1,000, sell for 4,000. And we've recently done deals for buy for 50, sell for 250. And we're doing multi-million dollar deals now too. So those deals, if those deals are too big for your comfort zone, then don't go to the counties where that's likely. Go to a county where there's a lot of for sale property for 40 or 50,000 bucks. You know you can buy it for, you know, 20 or 30 or whatever the numbers are.
That's a good point, because I've seen people do that. They try to go to counties that pass all the things that you just talked about, but they're going for properties that they can afford, and it's a mess in that county. It doesn't make sense. So you need to go for in demand for that area at the price that it's at. And you the only thing that I jump in here?
Okay, yes. Good.
All right. This is hard for some.
I know.
It's very
interesting. That's why I wanted to do a show on it.
That's why I'm happy to talk about it. Some people, it's really hard, but if you just start with something, I like what you said, pick something you're passionate about, that's an easy one. And that gives you an idea, like, oh yeah, I know that's an easy drive for these people. I know people like me, you know, where I used to live, still love this area. It's a dreamy little whatever, and I keep hearing rumors that, you know, more people are wanting to live in that area now because of, you know, the situation. They don't have to commute anymore. I'm gonna look at that area. So that all makes sense. And I love too that you touched on, this is a huge thing I see people getting hung up on, is the due diligence part. They pick this county, they do all this stuff, and they don't bother to check, like, oh man, it's not a neighbor scoop. You know, they don't realize until the offers are coming back that they can't find the property. It's not supported here. Good luck getting the county on the phone. Like, shucks. And they're like, I need to move on because now it's too hard. So that's a good point too. And my only last point I was going to share was, a lot of people go, okay, this is great. We hear you guys. I want to test an area. I think I got it. And where I hear and see them failing is testing with numbers that are too small. You cannot really test an area with 200 offers. So
that's absolutely
right.
Would
you touch on that, please?
Yeah, you should never, especially if you're new at this, and I mean never, send out an offer campaign that's less than 1,500 units just to test it. Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I'm going to send out 200 offers. I really, really don't recommend that at all. And here's the problem. There's always somebody who has a fantastic experience like that, and they splatter it all over landinvestors.com and everywhere else. And so you think, oh, I mean, we literally, Jill and I literally had a person in our live event who sent out 3 offers and did a real estate deal and made 80 grand.
She bought like 2 properties off 3 letters.
So I'm telling you, that's just like walking into a casino, pulling the slot machine handle, yeah, and winning the first time and walking out.
Right.
That's the worst thing that can happen, because you didn't develop a system. You just got totally lucky. And then you expect some kind of crazy stuff like that to happen for the rest of your career, and you're going to be very disappointed.
Right.
You know, trust me, trust us on this, right? 1,500 units is going to get you a deal, and you're going to make some money, and then you're going to want to do it again. Yeah. Then you're going to say, well, if I send out 3,000, I can get 2 deals like that. Mm-hmm. And then on and on and on. That's how you build a career in this. So, and the other thing that I failed to mention is, you really, really need to check in a county or a zip code how many properties are listed.
Yeah.
If there's an exorbitant number of properties listed against how many properties are actually in that county or zip code as a percentage, that's a big concern. If there are more than 1% of the property, if there's a universe of 10,000 properties in a jurisdiction, let's say it's a county or a zip code, land, and if it's for houses, then it's houses, like-kind property. And let's say there's 1,000 for sale, that's 10% of the universe of that area is for sale. Something's wrong.
Move on.
It's very, very wrong.
You want it to be 100.
You know, yeah. You want it to be not 1,000, 100. So if there's 10,000, you want it 1%. And you want them to be cycling through it. This is what House Academy itself, the whole education process, is all about. Looking at these statistics and saying there's no real demand, or there's a huge demand in zip code X against zip code Y. Right. I can't lose.
Excellent. Happy you could join us today. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you'll find us right here on the Land Academy Show. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we are on the House Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the House Academy Show is an interview with Land Academy Director Aaron Spence. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Whew. Sometimes it's like teaching a college class. Sometimes it's like
horsing around,
laughing with
like
my friend.
Like a conversation. This was more like a class. Whew. I hope you took a lot of notes. But it's important. And it's you got to set off on the right foot. Period.
Yep.
We want this all to be positive. That's why we're here. The Land Academy Show remains commercial free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We're Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.